This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Thoughts Become Things podcast. I'm so excited that all of you guys and gals decided to join us today. Hey, I'm Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you guys about something that I think is really imperative that we hear today, because I believe all of us have been faced with disappointments. And so today I'm going to talk to you for a couple of minutes about basically facing disappointments. Now, let me also explain this to you. I know if I was to say how many of you have had disappointments in your life, I mean, it would literally be every person. I mean, if I was sitting here with 7 billion people on planet Earth, and I said, you know, everyone raise their hand who has had a disappointment. Well, we know that it would have to be 7 billion people. It would have to be every single person. And if the person did raise their hand, we know that they would be a total liar, right? Because we know every single human, even from the age of 5 or 4 or 6, have been disappointed. Disappointed because I couldn't get that piece of candy I wanted. Disappointed because I didn't get that Barbie doll, that G.I. Joe I wanted at 10 years old from Santa Claus at Christmas. You know, disappointed because, you know, the girl of my dreams walked out on me. Disappointed because, you know, the man I thought was supposed to be my husband that God told me would, he never showed up. I mean, we have disappointment on top of disappointment all of our lives. I mean, even disappointments down to the fact of my favorite gas station, who I always get gas from, you know, it's now the highest and it once was the lowest, you know, and now I'm having to go down the street a mile out of my way to get gas. You know, disappointments. There's always disappointments that flare up in our lives, correct? And one of the things I've really come to the conclusion of, for lack of better words, throughout the years, is understanding, I think, coming to a place of maturity in my Christian walk is understanding that through disappointments, you know, they're inevitable. They are going to happen in our lives. There's no human way possible we can overlook or sort of go off the radar from not getting a disappointment in our life, right? So, how do we look at those things? Now, once again, we're dealing with thoughts become things, correct? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Turning our lives around by the power of thought. Turning our lives around by praying and asking the Lord, what is God's will for my life? And through that will, I line up and I know the desire of my heart is beckoning me to press in towards the mark of the high call in that thought. Because I know if I press in towards the mark of that desire and that thought that I know that God has for me, that's the mark of my life. Correct? Because I press towards the mark of the high call. The high call in Christ Jesus. What is the high call? The high call is me fulfilling my full potentiality. Watching my life unfold before me and seeing the rarity of things I didn't even know existed in my life, in my heart, or even around me. It's the rare parts that you never think possible could ever be, you know, in your life. Because most things in our lives are what? Unreachable. Unimaginable, because it's not the way I was, you know, I grew up. It's not my background. It's not what I studied in. It's not where I am in my life. I'm the wrong color. I'm the wrong height. You know, I'm the wrong weight. I mean, whatever it is, we always tend to find an excuse to override or overlook basically the rare things that we think can never be a part of our lives. But the rare things are the things that God is saying, guess what? Surprise. It is a part of your life. And so it's reaching towards the prize of the unthinkable to make the unthinkable thinkable. And reaching towards the prize of the destiny and the career move that we think is out of our reach and out of our hands, actually realizing that it's in our heart and my heart wants me to put it in my hands. Are you with me? If thoughts become things, then we know in our lives what? We can have the unimaginable and we can make it appear, manifest it, and live out that reality. I mean, we can see that from a scientific point of view. I mean, we can look all through history to know that people who awakened to life, you know, and I'll say this real quick before we get into disappointment. I'll say this. How many people on planet Earth, folks, are not Christian people? How many people on planet Earth don't even know the concept of Christ? How many know they don't even know the concept of even a like attracts like, as a man thinketh in his heart? Now, there are people all through the world who have never heard these teachings that probably, you know, you guys and myself have maybe had the privilege and graced with in our lives to learn, because we know knowledge has become power to us. So no longer do we suffer from lack of knowledge. We've got the knowledge. And here we are still, some of us still trying to fight the good fight of faith, to reach towards a prize, to grab a hold and gravitate towards the unthinkable by thinking the positive thoughts and aligning in our brain, you know, knowing that what I'm thinking is what I truly can be, and I actually am that thing that God has said I was, and so I'm going to make it my reality and stand firm and steadfast on that promise, right? So, let's take for a moment, before we get into disappointment, because this all aligns with disappointments, people outside of Christ who basically has never heard of Christ, but yet they know, whether they understand the principles or not, a lot of them are living out the principles. And so, they might not know the terminology, that I might not know the eloquent words we use, but they know how to live out the principle and not even aware of the fact that it's a principle. And so, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who guess what? We call, maybe not Christian people, or maybe some of us do, or maybe the world calls, whatever, they just got lucky. Well, did they get lucky, or did somehow they were pre-programmed for success, which means they tapped into something to realize that whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to be stubborn-headed about it, and I'm going to accomplish it and do it. And they did it. And we look at them and say, man, they don't even know what I know, and they just got lucky. Correct? But you know what I've realized in my life? Whether you're in Christ or not in Christ, or whatever you want to call it, here's the truth of the matter, folks. Whether you're Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, Christian, whatever, there are universal laws that work hands down. And knowing that, we know the Bible even lets us know that it rains upon the just and the unjust, and if someone wants to access these principles and someone wants to access this, it's going to work for them. Because as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Nowhere does that scripture say in the book of Genesis, does it say, as long as the earth remains, and those who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, guess what? There will be seed time and harvest. No. It's letting you know, across the board, there is seed time and harvest for saint, for sinner, for black, for white, for gay, for straight, for Asian, for Hispanic, for haters of God to lovers of God. I'm trying to cover all the bases here, folks, of everyone we know on planet Earth. You know, those who speak English, those who don't speak English, it doesn't matter. There are principles that are just universal in nature that God has established, and He lets us know that in the Scriptures. And so now that we've covered the basis of the entire galaxy, entire creation here on terra firma we call planet Earth, now that we've covered the basis of all this stuff, then we recognize that once again, everyone who knows it and doesn't know the principles, guess what? There has been disappointments. So, let's take us as Christian people and say it like this. Okay, well, we have prophetic words we receive. We have people who speak, you know, intuitively into our lives that get it from the Holy Spirit. We have people who can get into a prayer closet and receive something from the Lord. We have people who can fight the good fight of faith and receive their promise. They're, you know, waiting for the fulfillment. And so we know as Christian people, no matter what you call it or how you approach it in terminology, we know that there's something there embedded within the heavens that we call Christ, that, you know what, it's just telling us these are some avenues you can do, and these are the techniques of my word, because my word doesn't fail you. So therefore, you know what, move into them and you shall have that in which you have asked for, that in which you prayed, that in which you sought. You have faith that moved mountains, you can do it. Correct? So let's say, for example, let's narrow it down a little bit more to charismatic Pentecostal people, and even those, once again, whether they're in Christ or not in Christ, who've maybe accessed these type of principles to know there's a law of attraction that pulls us like magnets according to our thought process. So let's just take all these people, okay? Now then, once again, we're faced with humanity having disappointments, right? And we're taking groups of people here to understand that no matter how many people across the board know this stuff, in Christ or not in Christ, there are disappointments. So through disappointments, how do we face it as Christian people or those who are non-Christian? But when we look at this, guess what? The disappointment response, Okay, the response to your disappointments should, I would say, be a little different. Because we as Christians should understand something that maybe those who are not sort of awakened to Christianity or awakened to salvation, maybe they won't really can wrap their heads around. But here's, let's look at two different avenues here to understand something. Because sometimes as a Christian, our response to disappointments is actually worse than a lot of people who are not in Christ. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. And yet it should be the best one. It should be the best response ever. Those who are not in Christ, for example, and I hate to break it down like that, but that's the truth of the matter. Those who are not in Christ, we could say it this way. A lot of them say, you know what? I missed the target. All right, well, you know, I'll move on to something else. And they build up momentum and they shoot for the stars in some other area. They go for it. Us as Christians, here's what we do. Those who know the Word, those who really have understood, you know, the principles of God's Word, those who are led by the Spirit, here's what we do. We turn around and we say, oh my God, it must have been the devil. That's it. It's the devil all the way. The devil is destroying my thoughts. He is destroying my destiny. And then we spend ages upon ages fighting this devil, because we automatically go from either or, because all we see in the world is just God or the devil. But yet we know in Scriptures that's not the case. That is not the case at all in the Scriptures between God and the devil. There's a middleman and his name is Adam. And it's called humankind, mankind. And through that we know there are universal principles that are set into motion that I believe God sets into motion, because here's why I say this to you guys. God says in His Word, He says what? I honor my word above my name, which means God says things, He's not going to take it back. So if God initiated a universal law that deals with sowing and reaping, and you know, we have cause and effect by other people who can use that terminology. You know, we have people that are Buddhists who call it karma. Man, you're going to get what's coming to you. You know what I mean? And we see whatever people call it. And so we have to remember that sowing and reaping is not a Christian principle, folks. It's a universal for all humankind principle. And because we have to see it from that angle, we realize then what makes us any special, you know, or more important, for lack of better words, you know, for those who know Christ. Well, here's where it should be different for us instead of worse. Because A, we blame on the devil, and we spent hours and hours of exhaustion blaming the devil, trying to wrap our brain around why it didn't work. This disappointment shouldn't happen. My life should be perfect. It should be a bed of roses because God's promised me all this stuff. His promises are yes and amen. And by His stripes I am healed. And we go through all of our scriptures on healing. We go through all of our scriptures on life of why this thing is not panning out. Because we are God's best. We have chosen to you know, His royal priesthood. We've chosen His covenant. And yet we never stop to realize in the time of your exhaustion, here's what's happening. I'm going to say it very bluntly, folks. In the time of your exhaustion of fighting the devil, don't you think for a moment your body will get into anxiety when you're intensifying yourself into this place of doing divine warfare where your body is moving in anxiety? And believe it or not, folks, your body's not at total calm and peace when you're in warfare. There's not a person on earth that can move in total divine whole peace while they're doing warfare. The two don't blend together, folks. And so therefore, naturally, here's what's happening to your body. While you're fighting on the enemy's territory, you know, turf, so to say, you're not moving in peace. And you know what anxiety does for you? You know what anxiety and stress does for you? It's a proven scientific fact. And don't think for a moment God's just going to overshadow you to where it's not going to affect you. That's not how it happens. And so knowing that you're moving in anxiety and this type of frustration, here's what happens to you. Is the scientist lets us know, and doctors lets us know, and health experts lets us know that anxiety and stress and fear and worry and all this stuff, here's what it does. It puts too much stress in your body and your brain, which means you can open your life up to dementia. You can open your life up to Alzheimer's, which means these stressful moments of your life, when it's carried out in a periodic, consistent basis, guess what? It causes things in your brain to begin to what? Brain cells begin to die because your body was never created for anxiety or stress level. And that, my friend, is why the Bible says the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. So, A, let's rule that one out, all right? So, if it's not the devil all the time in the situation, come against your destiny, come against your thoughts that you're trying to think positive about, well, then look at your life. And realize that what if things in life happen Because the law is still into effect, okay, and as that law is in effect within our lives, we know that there are other laws that sometimes can cross over. There are things that can begin to happen in our lives where maybe we didn't carry it out, and here's where you need to hear me good, folks, that a lot of times we need to carry it out in a full responsibility level, which means you can think something positive all you want to, but if it's overriding, but if it's not overriding what is truly in your heart of fear or doubt, or was truly overriding something else in your life that maybe is imperatively important that God wants you to focus on first, then guess what? It's going to cancel itself out. It's not going to happen. And so it's not the fact, oh, you didn't have enough faith. No, it's a fact that you don't know what's embedded in your heart through years and years of living, years and years of experience, and plus cannot God's will tend to also come into effect to say, look, I'm glad and I'm honoring your thought process of you thinking like I told you to in my word through the mind of Christ, thinking the thoughts from your desires and making it manifest. So therefore, since that law is in effect, I also need to come into your life and tweak it a little bit to where it has a little bit more icing on the cake for you, to where it looks a little bit more like something that you would like as opposed to what you're thinking you would like. It's the same scenario as me saying, man, I love, McDonald's hamburgers. Oh, they're so juicy and good, which personally, I cannot stand McDonald's. I can't stand fast food with a passion. It makes me just nauseated because I'm training my body not to eat nasty fast foods the best I can. And it literally will nauseate me. And so if you sit here and you say, man, I love McDonald's hamburgers. Well, guess what? If someone gave you a better steak or a better piece of meat, which once again, I don't try not to eat meat in my life. But if they do, guess what happens? Then you're going to look at your life and you're going to say, wow, you know what? This is better than what I thought in my life because I've been eating hamburgers from McDonald's. I thought that was good. So you're good. So you're great. Listen to me closely. You're great might just be God's good. Okay? And so don't always think, why didn't I was disappointed. The enemy got to me. He destroyed me. Or go this route. Here's what I hear a lot in life coaching. Why did God allow this to happen? I couldn't begin to tell you how many times I've heard people say, why did God allow this to happen? Why will God take this off of me? Why will God give me the breakthrough? Why? As if God's in here going, you know what? You're not good enough. Nah, I don't love you enough. You need to suffer for a little bit longer. Nah, you know what? I just don't feel like it. Keep on begging me more. If you've had those questions in your heart towards God, let me tell you something. Then you see a very demented, warped way of viewing God. God is nothing like that. And when you see that from your response of a disappointment, you have to say, you know what? This is demented thinking. I've got to stop thinking this way. I've got to stop questioning God. Sometimes in life, folks, things just do happen. And through the times of things just happening, guess what? These laws are still in motion. And these laws are still in motion for us to keep on pressing through. Why do you think the Bible says press towards the mark? It didn't say hit the mark one time, or within 5 seconds you can hit the mark and bam, wham, bam, it's taken care of. No, it says press towards the mark. Run the race. Folks, you don't run still. You run for longevity. Running, it means it's longevity. It's not you standing still, with an inch. That means there's a process. And through your process, guess what? Quit looking at God and saying, have I not run enough? I've had so many people say, have I not done this enough for your kingdom, God? As if you're a martyr. Folks, come on. Get off this horrible way of thinking. You're not a martyr, and God is not pleased with you looking down at you saying, oh, my poor baby, they're struggling so hard, but I still got to let them struggle some more. God is not moved by your martyring mentality. I'm going to put it out there. God is not moved by your martyring mentality. He's not moved by I keep on suffering for your glory, Father. He's not moved by that one iota, not one bit. What God's moved about is compassion, mercy, love. He's moved about His work. He's moved about how He has set the industry, the universe into motion, which means what God wants us to do is keep on pressing towards the mark. And in the midst of your difficulty, listen to me, folks, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your disappointment, here's what you do. You pull something else into play that is positive. Have you ever thought maybe, and I'll close with this, have you ever thought maybe, just maybe, That if we, that since thoughts become things and what we behold produces, then what if we get off the situation that is so negative, that is dragging us down, that is in pain, or that is bothering us, or that is disappointments to us? What if we get off that and focus on something else? I could begin to tell you the people I've spoken with and they've said, but you don't realize it's all I think about. Well, I say, well, that's your problem. Well, you don't realize I've got such this major pain in my body. And as much as I hate that for them, I say, well, is there something else you can focus on? I can't focus on anything else. So you're telling me that this pain has literally 100% consumed your life to where you can't even think of anything else, nothing at all? You can't think of eating maybe a good meal and saying, and just focusing even for a moment of your taste buds enjoying that wonderful taste, whether it's a split second of something you're eating, or maybe the phone call from your daughter or the phone call from your mother and thanking God, oh, I'm so glad she's still alive. I'm so glad we're still in contact. I'm so glad, you know, my daughter and I are still talking. That there's a wonderful relationship. I'm so glad that I have a phone I can pick up and I can actually call somebody if I can't even move out of my house. I'm so glad I have a roof over my head. I'm so glad I have a hand to pick up my phone with. I could begin to tell you folks how many times I've told people these things to let them understand, look, I know it's hard. I have been through hell and back many times in my life, but through the times of my hell, I tell you what I've done. I've kept on pressing through and I've changed my focus. No matter if you're in hell, here's why I tell you it's that your life can't be any worse than David. Because King David said, even though I make my bed in hell, you're there, God. Let me put it to you in a great translation, okay, if I can. Even though I'm going through hell, I'm going to focus on something positive. No matter how much pain I'm dealing with, there's still something focusing positive in my life. That's what it means. Because what he's saying here, even though I make my bed in hell, guess what? Here's a positive. You're still there. You're still there, which means there's still something positive I can think about, that I'm never alone, that you know what? I've got a mouth, I can talk, I can still share. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't take lightly pain. I don't take lightly disappointments. I don't take lightly sickness. I don't take lightly hurts and anguish and pain that people have been through rejections and strife. But I'm going to tell you this though. On the other hand, I will tell you this. If that's the only thing in your entire life that's going for you, then you're a sad case. I'm going to say it bluntly, because with compassion, I'm telling you, you've got this amazing life. And yet there are millions of things out there we can think about, tons of things we could do, tons of things we could be thankful for. And once again, it's hard when we're going through disappointments. It's hard when we're going through hell. Like David said, even, you know, yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. There's your positive. He could have said, I'm going to the valley of death, God, why won't you do anything for me? But guess what he didn't. And yet many times we read the word with Jesus, you know, Lord, Lord, why have thou forsaken me? Well, God didn't forsake him. You have to understand the original language of the Aramaic. It had nothing to do with God forsaking him. If you study the Aramaic, it's not what it means, folks. God did not forsake. In other words, he didn't sit here and say, oh, there's my son. I'm out of here. He didn't do that. You have to understand the original Aramaic, which one day maybe I'll talk about, because that is not what the original Aramaic means when it says that verse. And so many people have a warped concept of what that means. God is not that kind of God. He doesn't do that. But guess what? Very few times we read in the Bible where people sit here and say, I don't understand why you're making me suffer, God. Because you know what you read before or after that? There was a situation maybe that was caused. There's something that happened. There's something that happened maybe that they couldn't, that was out of their grasp. But later on we read, guess what? Joy comes in the morning. Victory was on the horizon. We read where things got better. And it got better by us in making an intentional to be able to focus on something to say, but I thank you, God, that I have breath in my lungs. And you know what? There are so many other things I can focus on. And you know what happens? When you starve your disappointments and you starve your pain, you starve your suffering, you starve your anxiety, you starve these things by, guess what? By moving the best you can into joy, the best your ability into something you can thank God for, the best of your ability to maybe just crack a joke, or maybe your best your ability to watch a TV show that maybe has a little bit of comedy to it. There's always something better that we can fight through to say, but God, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sit here and find something in this world that's positive in my life? And folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's not a person not listening to me right, that's listening to me right now, that you don't have something else in your life to be thankful for. Something in your life. I remember talking to a gentleman the other day who said, you know, I'm done with God. I've had enough of God. I said, why you've had enough of God? I'm sick of God. I mean, he was irate. And I said, why? Because I'm tired of struggling with allergies. That's right, allergies. I'm tired of suffering. I've suffered allergies for 8 years nonstop. And I said, mister, let me tell you something. I said, if the worst thing that happens in your life are your allergies, because your body is not completely perfect, and you struggle with allergies because of the allergens in the air, let me tell you something, sir. I said, you need to wake up. You need a clarion and call of God to wake up to the reality that there are far more people worse in your life in this world that have more difficulties than you getting mad at God and turning your back on God because he won't heal you of your allergies. And I laid into him hard and heavy because I knew after that moment, how dare us not be able to look at life and say, you know what? There are always people who suffer worse. There are things in life that I could really be complaining about, but there's things in life also I can turn it around for my good, because God always does that. And I believe when God turns it around for our good, I believe we participate within the action of our own recovery. You have to be a participant of your own recovery, folks. Physician, heal thyself. The Bible says it. There is a potential, and there's a DNA cry in us that has the power to turn situations around. And we turn it around by shifting our focus, folks. As we shift our focus, no matter how long it takes you, don't become a martyr. Don't act like, oh, you're doing this for the kingdom of God. Things in life just happen, folks. And when things in life just happen, that's life. And we can deal with it, or we can exit out of it and blame God, or become a martyr. The choice is all up to us. And so I want you today to walk away with understanding that if people in the world can say, man, you know what? I can plow through this. If one of the smartest men that ever lived can sit in a wheelchair and yet have and one of the greatest scientists of our day and sit in a wheelchair, whether he's a Christian or not, of course he's not, he's an atheist, but can sit in a chair and you never hear him complain, and yet he's still from machine talking within, you know, still talking about science. You know what? That I think that our namby-pamby problems, folks, guess what? As Christians, I think we can overcome. I think people out there who have lost their limbs and people who have seen their entire family killed in a car wreck that doesn't even know Jesus, and they can come out and say, you know what, hey, it grieves me, but I have to go on. I can move on. Then how many know as Christians, folks, we can rise above it as well? So take that today to heart, folks. I want you to live the very best life you can. And through your difficulties, you know what? One day, someday, there will be an overcoming power. But you can overcome that presence of that pain right now, at least in your heart and your mind, to change the way you think, and know that this reality will change. And the more that I sow my seed of goodness, and I sow my seed of the kingdom, and I sow my seed of being positive into situations, and I sow my seed of saying, this too is about to change. This too is changing. This has already changed on the inside of me, that it has no choice but to make the outer exact what the inner is trying to say. That's how life is, folks. So thank you so much for joining today's broadcast, folks. And once again, thank you so much. You guys are awesome to be a part of this amazing ministry. And so I hope our lives are changing every day by His kingdom and by His glory. So thank you again for tuning in to Thoughts Become Things. Everyone have a blessed day. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.